I know we're heading into the conference championship weekend, but Saturday is for ACC basketball, and the three teams in the 919 area code are all involved. They're all playing big games. Two of them are on the road, and Duke will host Clemson. Wake is off this weekend. What do you think Steve Forbes will be watching ball? You watching football? I don't know. I don't know what Steve Forbes is going to be doing. We should call him and find out. Brian Geisinger, Pack Pride, 24/7 Sports, all of that joins us on the Adam Gold Show. He is our basketball guru on Fridays. All right, sir. I want to start with the Tar Heels, who are playing at Florida State. And this is not the same Florida State team that kind of got off to a slow start this season. They look a lot different, and they look a lot better, and they look a lot like, they're not as good, obviously, some Leonard Hamilton teams of the past. How do you look at this game?
Yeah, I mean, FSU is always like a challenge to prepare for, and even if they don't have the sort of like multiple seven-footers on the roster that they're used to, which I did hear, I think it was Mike Monaco was doing one of their FSU games a couple weeks ago that I was watching, and Leonard Hamilton said this will never happen again. He'll never have a roster without multiple seven-footers on it, which I did love. But still, the tallest team in the country, according to KenPom. And you know what you're going to get with them, like the elite, not just like the length and the athleticism, but the full court, you know, pressure, being in passing lanes, trying to deny passes, and a team that's going to switch 1 through 5 on the vast majority of screens and handoffs and other exchanges. So they're a bear to prepare for, but UNC is certainly like well equipped to find different ways to sort of like poke at FSU's pressure and switching.
Florida State's won 6 of their last 7 games. To me, this is the way I describe Florida State, and the phenomenon is that they will get to a point in the season where somebody will score 27 points that I have never heard of before. And it happens virtually every year. I'm like, when did that guy transfer in? They do it all the time. So he usually has a roster like 11 or 12 players that he uses. I mean, not that this matters, but I'm intrigued by the fact that Florida State is such a big underdog at home. Getting 8.5 points seems like a lot. At some point, I mean, I think Carolina's great. I think they're the best team in the league. I think the fact that they have R.J. Davis is almost slump proof. I think he is that solid and can do so many things. How does Florida State stop him?
Well, you know, I guess there's a few different ways. One, they're going to put like a lot of, you know, size and athleticism on him. They've got some very good guard and wing defenders. I mean, Jameer Watkins is probably one of the better defenders, if not just like all around players in the league. You've got Jalen Morley. And then you've got a guy like Bobba Miller who can switch out and also protect the rim. Miller's still a project offensively, but he's a real talent on the defensive side of the court. But Davis just has the ability with that, with his jumper, with the range, with the sort of like quick release that, I mean, he's an elite catch and shoot player, obviously. And Hubert Davis has a bunch of, tactics and actions to get him, to shake him loose. And if you know you've got the screens coming, or pardon me, the switches coming on screens and stuff with FSU, then you can have stuff dialed up for that in terms of both getting guys, you know, slipping to the rim or slipping out for threes. Like there's different ways to sort of counter that when you know that it's coming, even against all that, the athleticism in like collective wingspan of Florida State. But obviously Davis' ability to shoot off the catch. And you could just see, like, down the stretch of the Wake Forest game, like, a game that was close for a while, then just sort of, like, an avalanche of Davis shot-making down the stretch. And, like, the ability that they have with the Elliott-Cadeau-Davis backcourt, like, the reason why they might be slump-proof, to borrow your term, is because they can put Davis from being, like, an offensive caretaker to being a guy that can just look to get buckets. And, like, they use him. And, I mean, he's been, like, a, you know, he's been a bucket getter for UNC for years now. And, like, obviously Caleb Love played with the ball plenty in previous seasons, too. You know, Leaky Black could run the offense, et cetera. But with Cadeau, you've got, like, a really advanced ball handler and a really advanced passer, something that, like, those other guys weren't. And then all of a sudden you can have Davis flying around. He's the one setting screens and then popping out. You know, they went to that like, stack spin pick and roll look a bunch down the stretch against Wake as Davis caught fire. So I really think the Cadeau-Davis backcourt, like, they do complement one another pretty well, especially on the offensive side of the court, in part because – all of a sudden, you know, you can let Cadeau run the offense, and then Davis starts buzzing around. He's like a slot receiver, you know, running around on, you know, a bunch of little pick plays and stuff like that. So they've got a really nice balance, and certainly with Ingram, you can also let him, you know, initiate too. So we'll see. You know, can you get Bacot some looks in the post? You know, FSU, even when they switch a smaller defender into the post, they're going to front and show backside help. Can you find Harrison Ingram and Cormac Ryan for skip pass threes if their guys are helping off them on the wing and helping down the post? Like, there's stuff to do. And yeah, Davis, sensational. Like, I really, for me, for my money, I really thought, like, Filipowski at Duke was like, the clear-cut guy for player of the year. And now I'm sort of, I don't know. It's there's still a lot of basketball left to be
played. Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the halfway mark, but Carolina is 8-0. And look, if they go 20-0, yeah, R.J. Davis is going to win Player of the Year. Even 19-1, I think he probably wins it. All right, the Wolfpack are in Syracuse. And Victoria asked me before who was, which team was under more pressure. I think State's got to win this. I think they have to win a road game. I think they have to win a road game against another, I'm using the soccer term, mid-table club right now. They have to distinguish themselves from the middle of the pack here. The opportunity at Virginia where they almost came back and got it, you know, to let that get away is kind of disappointing, especially with a bad start. But they have to be able to use their press because I think it's better than their half-court defense, and they don't have a good enough half-court offense, I think, to make up for the fact that they need free points. But they've got to be able to do that against Syracuse. I just don't know if they can.
Yeah, I mean, the press is huge for them. I've been saying this sort of all season. Like, they need it because that's where they get a lot of their turnover creation. Or, like, even if the opponent beats the press, then all of a sudden they're starting an offensive possession with 20 seconds, not 25 seconds, and then State's, you know, defense can sort of, like, sink its teeth in a little bit better, and it just has sort of, like, a time advantage on its hands. But in the press, that's where they force a lot of turnovers. You know, Dennis Parker Jr., Jaden Taylor, Casey Morsell. They've got, like, athletes, Michael O'Connell, like, pesky defenders that can create events in the press. And then that allows the game to not turn into a half-court slog because, like, they just don't – as soon as that happens, I mean, this is what took place at UVA earlier this week. They just don't – it's not that they're incapable of doing it. It's just – it's hard. It becomes very difficult for them. They all of a sudden start to default far too much to just, like, the DJ Burns post-up option. And as you saw against UVA, they don't, you know, Virginia doesn't double the post. And then all of a sudden there's no cutters, there's no kick-out shooters. And so it's just Burns mid-range post-up offense. And I think, you know, him having only one assist, State not getting nearly enough shots at the rim, not getting very, very few free throws in that game, very few, like, clean, you know, catch and shoot threes. And a lot of that is because if teams aren't helping to double on Burns, then they can stay at home on some of these other guys and take away the cutters and the kickout options. But the other reason why State doesn't want to get this into just a half court game is because, like, Syracuse has an elite point guard.
Right.
Like, Judah Mintz is awesome, and he's really, really good. They run good stuff for him. He draws a ton of fouls. Like, it's going to be a big game for Jaden Taylor. Whoever else is guarding at the point of attack, it's going to be a big game for State centers, Burns and Middlebrooks on the defensive side of the court. Like, can they help keep Mintz in front without getting into foul trouble?
Mm-hmm.
If you limit him, you have a good chance against Syracuse. But, yeah, State's just going to have to be, you know, they're just going to have to be better in the half-court offense because the defense is good enough. It's the offense that's really, really lagging behind.
Yeah, neither of those teams, by the way. They're both poor shooting teams from three-point range and kind of 2-point range as well. So this might be a difficult watch, but I would love to see State make a couple of baskets and then get the press going, because that's what they're going to need to win up there. And again, I think the Wolfpack need to start winning games against teams that are in a similar part of the standings to them. All right, real quick to Duke and Clemson. It's in Cameron, which means somebody from Clemson is going to make 9 threes. I watched Georgia Tech apparently not be able to miss. They could have, you know, turned around and bicycle kicked the ball into the goal from 3-point range against the Blue Devils. And clearly Blake Hinson was not going to miss a 3-point shot, including some really tough ones. I know he's a good shooter. Are the rims just bigger at Cameron?
When I was a kid growing up and hating J.J. Redick, I would have definitely said yes, for sure. They're at least softer at Duke. But no, I mean, like, the Hinson performance was incredible. Like, I mean, I think he might be the ultimate, like, irrational confidence guy to me this year. And, I mean, he hit some absolute cannon shots in that game. I rewatched that game last night and cut up the film. And, I mean, like, at least 3 of the 7 threes he hit were just totally ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see Duke's strategy this year for Hinson was they put McCain on him and they would switch a lot of actions, which is in theory should keep him from getting, clean catch and shoot looks coming off screens and pick and pops, like that type of stuff. And instead they stashed, Kyle Filipowski on Zach Austin. And like, outside of, maybe a clean look or two that he got in transition, like, all the other half-court looks are pretty well contested. And just, like, he made absolute incredible shots. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe P.J. Hall will, make 8 threes and outdo Hinson.
I'm just assuming it's going to happen. I don't know if it's Duke's defense is not that great. I mean, they certainly went through times where they couldn't stop. I mean, they had a hard time guarding Georgia Tech in both matchups this year. They eked out the win at Cameron. They lost down in Atlanta. Just real quick, Mark Mitchell did come back and play last week. Hopefully Jeremy Roach can play. Duke has to kind of, I'm not saying right their ship, because I don't think they're teetering, but the expectations for this team is not to be, essentially, I mean, they got to be a top 4 seed. I think most people look at them as a top 4 seed when we get to the NCAA tournament. I'm not sure they're playing like it.
Yeah, I mean, the next 7-8 days are huge for them, right? Clemson, Virginia Tech on the road at UNC. Like, that's a pretty daunting stretch, honestly. And I think they've gotten some tough luck in terms of shooting. Like, I don't think Duke's opponents are going to outshoot them in terms of 3-point percentage by year end, whereas UNC's having sort of like the exact opposite. I think Duke's defense has actually been okay. I think Kyle Filipowski's done a lot of good stuff at the center position, guarding pick and roll this season, being a helper at the rim. I don't think they have a ton of lineup versatility, just because at times they've struggled to, be viable on offense with Mitchell, and then they can't have him on the floor for his defense, so then they go smaller. Then they bring Ryan Young in at center, and all of a sudden, Filipowski's doing different stuff. Jared McCain, I think, has improved on defense from the start of the season. Like, he still has breakdowns. I'll be curious to see, like, in the Louisville game, they played 7 minutes with Filipowski, Sean Stewart, and Mark Mitchell on the court. It was the first time all season those guys have played together. Roach was hobbled, so maybe that was a bit of a one-off, just given where they were with the rotation. But, like, that is something to keep in mind. Like, is John Shire thinking, like, we just got to get more size and athleticism on the court, and, like, Stewart is the best way to do that? You can play him with Mitchell, and, either have those guys at the 4-5 or have Filipowski out there, and, Mitchell's the de facto 3. It just makes the half-court spacing on offense a little tricky, though.
And they might need something like that against North Carolina to prevent them from getting just clobbered on the defensive boards. Brian Geisinger at BGeis_Bird. Pack Pride 24/7. He is our basketball guru, especially on Fridays. My man, I'll talk to you later. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, I hope you guys have a good weekend, okay?
You too. Thank you. I hope we do too.
Yeah.
I hope we stay dry. It's supposed to rain. It's supposed to rain forever. All right, thanks, man. Talk to you later.